I don't know.
I know. Welcome. Who knows what number podcast this is? Who cares? Mama's lockdown and me. I'm very excited to talk with chief founder of Wits Up Women in Triathlon. I've been a bit of a fan of yours for a long time, so I'm all like gleeful. I was reading about you. Steph Hansen, instantly addicted to triathlon, mama to Frankie, who's 20 months, and currently in Melbourne. And I found a quote from your dad that reminded me of my father, who said, "I can't believe people pay you to talk because I've been trying to shut you up for over 30 years. That is exactly the thing that my dad would say. So welcome.
Oh, thank you. Actually, he said that at our wedding as part of his speech. I was like, oh, okay. This is like the one time you're meant to be nice to me.
My mum used to say to me, Jane, we used to try and literally unplug you at night, and we'd be like, Jane, plug off, shut up. So I think we'll get on well. Are you having a gin and tonic?
I certainly am.
I'm on a Chardonnay. I'm a Chardonnay girl tonight.
Oh, fancy.
I know. So you're in Melbourne, and it's been really interesting, this, because I've been chatting to people in America, UK last night, lots of New Zealanders, lots of Australians, and finding out that kind of a little bit of the differences that have been going on around the world as to how we are. And we've been calling it in New Zealand our bubble. So I'd love to find out who's in your bubble at the minute.
As in our household, do you mean? Or?
Yeah, so who have you been surrounding yourself with kind of in lockdown, as we've been calling it?
Yeah, so we're kind of a stage below you guys, I think, in New Zealand. So we're pretty much have been told to stay at home as much as possible. But we are allowed to exercise with other people, or one other person, I think it is, as long as we keep, 1.5 meters distance. But anyway, we've pretty much just had our small little family. So my husband, Frankie, and the dog, Henry.
Very important. Dogs have been coming up lots.
Oh, I mean, he's
keeping
been in our life
together.
Anyway. Totally. And, you've seen all the memes, right, that dogs are just high-fiving each other, the fact that people are home 24/7 and they're just... Because they just want love, don't they? So they're just getting it in an abundance at the moment. And he's getting so many walks as well, because my husband just takes Frankie out, for just walks and all the time, because I need space to be able to work. And she needs to run around as much as she can at the moment. So, that's our immediate bubble. And then we stay as close as we can with our good mates who live just a couple of Ks up the road. So we'll often go for a bike ride and call them, and we're like, we're outside, and talk over the fence and run up and down their cul-de-sac. The other day I turned up with a Spider-Man costume on. We rode over there because their 4-year-old is obsessed with Spider-Man. So I got a Spider-Man costume delivered. I stole the idea from a pro triathlete, Nikki Bartlett, in the UK. She's been doing her easy runs in a Spider-Man costume, just waving to kids.
What a legend.
And I was like, that's awesome. I'm going to do it. So I'm like, waving to kids, parents who are outside having barbecues in their front yards, and everyone's like, Spider-Man! So,
when somebody falls over you on the street randomly and says to you, what do you do? What do you actually say you do?
That's a great question.
Because I hate the what is your job question. It really pisses me off. I hate it. But in a context, tell us.
So I sort of say that I run a multimedia platform that is dedicated to women in triathlon. So think of it as an online magazine, but with many different platforms. So podcasting, video content, imagery, written content. So that's pretty much how I explain it. If you're asking me at the airport when I'm flying international and I have to put down my occupation, I just write editor because it's easier to say it that way. There's only so many words you can fit in that little box at the airport.
And so how has your day-to-day shifted, changed? Because is your partner, is he at home more than he was?
Yeah, so he, very early on when all this madness started happening, he was one of the first to go. He's a chef, but he's a corporate chef. And you know, they've gotten everyone to work at home if possible. And so once all of the employees left that office building, he had no one to cook for. So he was home 3-4 weeks ago now, full time. And out of the two of us, I sort of was like, well, I'm the only one that can potentially earn money. So we've pretty much completely swapped roles. I've been trying to run my business and be full-time mum to Frankie, only having her in daycare once a week. We're about to go up to twice a week because I needed that time to run Wits Up. And then all this stuff happened and Brett ended up coming home, you know, 7 days a week. So he is full-time. I hate saying daddy daycare because, you know, he's being a dad.
He's working as a dad full-time.
Yeah, exactly. And I've just gone hammer and tong just trying to see, you know, to pivot with our business and work on those things I haven't had an opportunity to do because I've been looking after Frankie full time.
Yeah, yeah. So how has that been between the two of you? Because I know I've talked to, like, I know when we stopped, like, my blog stuff stopped completely, traveled blog stopped, and then my social work job picked up massively, and then my partner's in tourism, so that died, but he's still got a business that's running with lots of people in it, and we sat down and said, right, how the hell are we going to do this, because we're both still working and we've got a toddler who's usually in daycare 5 days a week, so we now kind of split the day half and half and then are quite flexible in the whole, I've got this meeting, I've got to go to it at this time, can we, yeah let's just work it. But I know we had a bit of a, well, my meeting's important, well my meeting's important, you know.
Yeah, Brett's not doing any work. Yeah. So there's zero work for him to do. The hardest thing in terms of work and earning money that he's trying to cope with is the government packages that are coming out. So, and just trying to navigate those systems can sometimes be a full-time job. I'm still fighting with the system trying to get my paid parental leave and my daughter's nearly two. So,
God. Yeah.
That's what we've been dealing with. So it's pretty much, and because we are a global company, I'm being very flexible with my times in terms of interviewing athletes on the other side of the globe. It might be an 8 p.m. start just so I can get the things done that I need to get done. So when I say he's full-time, he is absolutely full-time. I see them sort of come and go. It's starting to upset me a little bit because I'm so used to spending so much time with Frankie and we've pretty much had to completely change that over because that's just is how it is at the moment. It's great for their relationship. So I just keep telling myself that it's such a good opportunity that he would never have gotten if there wasn't something like this.
Yeah.
So that's a massive silver lining. And in terms of butting heads, like you said, just that shift, that change is an adaptation process, isn't it? So we've had a couple, look, to be honest, Brett's the most laid back man in the universe. He is the lazy boy recliner of me. Like, he just is the most chilled. To the point that I try to start an argument with him because I need a little bit of fire every now and then. So, you know, we've had a couple of headbutts, but it lasts all of 30 seconds and we move on. And, and I'm definitely the fiery one. But the thing I think I've struggled with is letting go of all the things that I've been in control of with her for so long. And I do need to say he is an incredible dad. The second he gets home from work, he cannot wait to hang out with Frankie. Yeah. And he, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he gets home and they go out and do their thing. This is, you know, when he was working. So, you know, it's not like he gets home and he's exhausted and just, you know, wants a beer and space to himself. He's just like, right, let me at it.
But you know, isn't it an amazing, like, one, that whole learning process of letting go of stuff. So, you know, I went through that in the newborn stage. You know, I very quickly and I work around lots of children and stuff at work, but I'm like, you know, I'm going to do it my way and he's going to do it his way and we'll just find a way in the middle. And I've got to stop, you know, we've worked out this thing. If he can hear them are having a meltdown, I'm very quick to now, I didn't before, to stop and then to actually pop my head around the door and go, do you need a hand? Instead of going, I'll just help with all this. And he's like, no, all right, carry on. But also seeing that relationship between him and her is such an amazingly wonderful thing to watch. Just be able, because you don't often get that time to sit back and kind of, I know you're involved in your work and stuff, but it's just like, oh God, look at that relationship that's actually now been able to slow down. Yeah. To slow down and actually happen in front of my face.
Most definitely. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people out there who are saying that the universe is telling us something and we need to do this. And I'm not all about the fluff, but I do think that things kind of happen for a reason to an extent. And we are trying to see this as positive as we can. It doesn't mean we jump out of bed going, life's fantastic, but
no.
I can really see some positives, and at certain points in my life, certain things have forced me to slow down because I am 150 all the time and I need certain things to sort of slow me down a little bit. So I am seeing this as a positive for many different reasons. That's not to say that there's a lot of stress about money, how we're going to pay rent. That stress is 100% there. I don't want to, shy away from that. But like I say, we see the positives when we can and just ride that sort of roller coaster. I think it's all you can do is sort of sit and be in it at the moment.
Yeah. And I suppose the first thing we said, because, you know, his business stopped, shut down, and that's it. And it's kind of doing what it's doing. But we said to ourselves, at no point ever probably again will we be in the same situation as the rest of the world. And all right, there are people out there that I really worry about living in a house with people they really don't want to be in, or they're really not safe to be in a house with, and all those people I worry about. But you know, we're all kind of looking at some similar things alongside all this other stuff that's going on, and it's like, I can't control it. I can't control what's going on. So what can I do to develop myself or work out what I'm doing or sit and communicate with you about what's going on?
It's
totally bonkers. Totally bonkers.
How
have you found in your work? How have you found, I think it's really interesting, being a cupcaker, we have a Facebook group and we talk, I'll just explain, I'm part of this Cupcake Cartel, who's a triathlon group, but the most fun triathlon group I've ever met in my life. We have this Facebook group where we do talk a lot about what's the future, what's, you know, when things come up around Ironman, what's going to happen, and oh, there's a race that's been announced and there's no way that's going to happen. What's that kind of general feeling around if you're having conversations with those people?
It's such a mixed bag, to be honest. And each conversation that I have, I like to suss out how the other person's feeling before I guess, give my opinion. For example, you know, someone might be talking about wanting to do 70.3 Worlds in New Zealand in November. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, New Zealand locked their board. They were one of the strictest countries in the world in terms of trying to flatten this curve and figure life out. I don't see them opening up borders. There'll be travel within the country, maybe between Australia and New Zealand. I don't know. But for a world championship to get people flying from all over the globe, it's not going to happen. But if I'm talking to someone who they're a positive person, they need to have goals. They're using that as their own sort of goal, I guess, to carry on training and to look forward to something. I don't want to come in as negative Nancy. Just to be able to say I told you so. I just don't think there's any point to be honest, which is why, when we're publishing things, we'll sort of say, you know, this is what we've been told from Ironman or whoever it might be. I might think it's complete BS, but if people want something, people need something to believe in. And if that's what it is, then good on them. And if it comes to the time when it's cancelled, then we deal with that at that time.
That's a really good skill to have, to be able to listen to somebody else and say, this is what you're working around in your little thing, bubble, and this is what I'm, but I'm, you know, it's such a good skill to be able to say, because I've got lots of friends who are like that. They're kind of, they're in tourism or they're in travel or they're in, you know, and it's like they're working towards it. And it's like you'll discover something along that journey, whether that you get there or not, but you're on this path and you're learning some stuff and that's what you think. So that's
fine. At the moment, I don't know. I think a lot of people are just love that whole, I want to be right, but at what cost? You know, let's just let the people who are leading and making the big decisions do what they have to do. We'll follow along as best we can.
So if you're working full time and, you know, taking on that role, when do you schedule in your time, and what does that look like?
Great question. Don't have an answer. It's something that I'm not great at the moment. It was something that I was working on before all this happened as well. It's something that I need to do for a couple of reasons. It's good mentally to have your own time. But I know for sure that physically, mentally, emotionally, I'm a much better person. I'm more patient. I think better. I'm more productive when I've been looking after my health and well-being. But it is just, it's one of those things that just always seems to slip through. And I need to work on it.
Yeah. And I know from myself being in this situation, you know, if I've got a wind trainer set up, I've got sore knees, can't run at the minute. So I've got my wind trainer set up. And if I do not train in the morning before anything else starts, I get to 4 o'clock and I want a glass of wine. So I'm like, and I'm like, it's gone. Like tonight, I was like, I'll get the wind trainer. And then I'm like, it's gone. I wanted a drink. I make dinner. I have my drink. That's my little time. And then tomorrow I'm like, right, getting on the trainer. So if I know if I slot it in, but otherwise useless.
Totally useless. And yeah, I'm exactly the same. And I think that's why all these sort of virtual meetups, you know, Zwift, for example, that's what they're for, not necessarily the racing per se, but those opportunities to have those social rides or whatever with friends, however that looks, whether it be on a Zwift platform or what, however. I said it to a mate the other day, I need you to say, meet me on Zwift at blah, 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 because that's how you can help me at the moment.
Totally. Yeah. But you know, for the first time in my life, I've stopped, not fully, but feeling guilty about it. It's like, do I want to go and do this thing tonight? Or do I want to sit by the fire and have a glass of wine? I actually want to sit and have a glass of wine. And it's like, it's gone. Mm-hmm. Tonight's gone. I've done this work. I've done the thing. Move on next day. Whereas I'd be like, oh, I didn't get on the trainer. I didn't go to the pool.
It's definitely okay. One thing that I'm really trying to do, and it's such a basic technique, is just writing a list of things that I need to do for work and personally each day, just so I can tick them off. And just that
is
such
a my and I told my boss about it. My other business coach, and we do 3 daily vitals. So you write 3 things you want to do that day, and you can't move on to the second one till you finish the first one. And if those other two or last one doesn't get done, it gets put to the top of the next day.
That's 3. A good one.
That's it. And usually I can get through 3. Okay, so quick fire. If you could create a new triathlon, what would it be? Mine would be cake, cold coke, sleep.
Well, I mean, the obvious one is coffee, gin and tonic, red wine, right?
Okay, Coke or Dr. Pepper?
Coke.
Favorite biscuit?
What do you classify as a biscuit? Is that, does that
doesn't matter. In your country, you can decide.
Well,
let's not cause wars between countries.
I'm jumping on the Kiwi bandwagon. Cookie time, cookie.
That's a biscuit to me. I'm English, so
whatever. That's,
Ski or snowboard?
Snowboard. All right, calm down.
Swim, bike, or run? You have to pick one.
Bike, easy.
Yes, I knew it. One person you would like to allow into your bubble that is alive or dead, famous or not?
Tina Fey.
Whoa, good answer. one film that you would have to watch forever in your bubble?
I could probably go back to a classic, A Night at the Roxbury.
Oh, nice.
Such a stupid movie.
And if I said to you, you're totally fit and ready to go, what race would you do tomorrow?
I challenge Roth, even though I've done it before. It's the greatest race on the planet.
I know. One day I'll get there or pull my finger out.
It's amazing. Pleasure. Thanks for having
me. So much. That was a really awesome insight into seeing it from a different angle. We've had lots of different angles, actually, that I've plucked. One more question. Do you have a quick little game up your sleeve for a near two-year-old that you can pass on? You know, if you're like, what am I going to do? I've got this thing. Let's do it.
We do 10-bidden bowling. So we get all our drink bottles and give her like a small ball and we just get her to throw it and knock down the biddens.
That is awesome. And I do like your scary rah video.
Oh, that. Actually, we've got so many games that are going on at the moment. She loves being scared. It's ridiculous.
The other game
that we play is hiding her fluffy toys all over the house. So before she wakes up in the morning, I've hidden them in all these different spots and she just goes around the house and it keeps her busy for 20 minutes. And she's so excited.
Yeah.
Like every time. I think her voice gets higher and higher each time she finds another animal. And it's awesome. We're actually in the middle of doing a video for Wits Up, which is around triathlon parents and what they can do with their kids at the moment. So I'm pulling something together. So keep an eye out for it.
So good. I will. Steph, thank you so much for coming to see me during Evil Hour in Australia. And go enjoy your gin and tonic.
It's already done. Up to number two now.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Take care.